الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. How amazing would it be if you could see the palaces of Jannah while you're still alive? How magnificent would it be if you could see your abode, where you're going to stay in Jannah? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the one who reads Durood e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Reciting Durood e Pak 1,000 times a day maybe takes 10-12 minutes. What amazing rewards you will get. Not only will you get the blessings and the barakat of reading the Durood e Pak so many times, but also before you die, you will see your place in Jannah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now last we went through the causes of depression and we looked at different things and how our thought processes worked and confused us and caused us to become depressed. Today, we're going to look at the impact depression has on our physical and mental well-being. Inshallah.
Do not lose hope. Do not be sad.
Now, depression is not just a mental illness. It is much more than that because it has devastating physical impacts. It affects the body in many ways. And a lot of us don't appreciate that. What we think is that this is some sort of mental disorder which doesn't have a physical aspect. That is very wrong. Let me give you an example. One of the common side effects of suffering from depression and anxiety is insomnia. Now, insomnia is basically the fact that you can't sleep at night. You have sleepless nights, your sleep is disturbed, the quality of your sleep is very poor. And it's all because of the anxiety you have during the day, the thoughts that linger on and cause you problems, the repetitive thoughts, the fact that your body is tense, the fact that you've identified certain problems which you can't solve, and cognitively, in your mind, those problems are continuing to go around and around in circles. When you get to bed, the same thoughts linger on, causes sleep problems. Sleep itself then leads to other problems because during the day you're very tired, you're very irritable, you get angry quickly, and it's all because of a lack of sleep, which was caused by depression. Then, memory problems. People who suffer from depression often experience memory problems. They can't remember things. They've got a list of things to do and they usually forget. They don't organize themselves properly so as to write down what they need to do. So when they forget things, they become very frustrated. And if it's the first time or, you know, this happened in your life, it can be very frightening and daunting as well. They think, well, am I starting to lose my mind? And what it is, gradually, this is building up. Then, problems with decision making. The way that a brain thinks and the brain works, Allah has made this amazing supercomputer that we have. Now, the way that this works is that it analyzes and dissects information and it processes that information. But when you are suffering from depression and you have these anxieties, these fears, these irrational thoughts, and they're repeating in your mind time and time again, your brain's ability to process what is in front of you diminishes. And it suffers quite badly to the extent that you don't think straight. So when you've got to make decisions, even the simplest of decisions can become a task. And this, again, feeds into the frustration and increases the depression. Then, there is a preoccupation. You are lost in little trivial thoughts that make you think the wrong way. The whispers of the shaitan are there, and you can't decipher which is which, and you tense up yourself. Now, all of this has a huge impact on your physical well-being. Every time you get into this thought process, certain chemicals are released in your brain, which cause your heart rate to increase. And when over days and weeks and months, you're constantly sending your heart into emergency pumping, gradually your heart starts to get defects. This leads to heart attacks. Say your arteries are not 100% clean. Normally, in a normal situation, the blood would continue to pump into the heart. But if you're constantly tense, almost like you are on a training session, then the risks of heart attacks increase significantly. Weight gain. We add to our worries because we're depressed, because we're upset, because we're not controlling what we eat, because we're binge eating for satisfaction, for release of chemicals in our brain, our weight increases. Or the opposite in some people. When they're depressed, then they don't eat at all. And that's bad as well. The balance goes. We gain weight. Then, with the constant battle between tension, hypertension, and highs and lows, and this constant feeling of anxiety and depression, these low moods, the tense situations, the arteries which supply blood become constricted. And this leads to other difficulties, other diseases. Your perception of pain increases significantly. So you may have a headache which on a pain scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is very mild pain, 10 is excruciating pain, you might have a headache at 3, level 3. And normally, that headache comes and goes, you're not too bothered about it. But when you're depressed, that level 3 pain can feel level 6 or 7. And painkillers may not even help you. And it's not because of the situation you're in the sense that the pain is there, but it's because your perception of pain, because of your depression, has increased. And the increasing pain and the long-lasting pain actually causes more irritation, more anger, more fatigue, and more depression. So it's a cycle that builds upon itself. Then, the number one complaint, tiredness. People who are depressed and anxious have little energy to go out and do things. Even the things that they used to do, that they used to enjoy, they can't do. You know, going out for a run, doing some exercise, you know, watching Madni Channel, spending time with family and friends, they just cannot be bothered. They go into isolation and they think this is good for me. But actually, this is bad for them because it's increasing their isolation. And this isn't the good isolation that Islamic scholars talk about, where you take yourself away from people to build your inner character. No, this sort of isolation destroys you, because when you're alone, you're not doing anything constructive. What you're doing is constantly analyzing that same thing that's getting you depressed, or your problems are going through your mind again and again, and the whispers of the devil are coming in, and Satan, shaitanic whispers come in, and all of it serves to confuse you even more. And during this process, if you analyze yourself, your body is tense, your heart is pumping, your mind is going, and the whole nervous system is suffering from this. You become irritable, you become angry, you become depressed. Now, at that moment, somebody could say something simple to you, and you will react in the most horrific way, maybe with violence. Maybe with shouting and screaming, you may disrespect your elders. And then afterwards, you sat there scratching your head thinking, why have I just done that? What led me to that? And what it was all this buildup that you had failed to notice or failed to deal with. And that sudden burst of anger was just the energy that needed to be released. And it can get as serious as epilepsy. The doctors write that by constantly living in this state, you can really damage your nervous system and your brain. It leads to an inability to organize your life. So when it's time for salah, you can't be bothered. The shaitan's got you in such a grip that you will let salah time pass. When it's time to read the Quran, you don't want to do that. You'll sit there and watch movies for 5 hours. But as soon as it comes to this, the depression kicks in. Why? Because this is what the whole plan of the shaitan was. He wanted to get you into this cycle, a constant vicious circle that goes around and around and around and gradually increases, and it destroys your life. And what people then do is they turn to drugs and alcohol to try and relieve themselves. And what they've done is found the wrong solution. Because this may give temporary relief, but actually what it's going to do is going to increase your problems a million times over now. If you start to take drugs to battle depression, it's not going to go away. What it's going to do is increase. If you turn to alcohol, it's not going to solve your problems. It's going to increase them. In the short term, you might think, well, I've forgotten it, and it's given me a body high. All the chemicals are being released from the brain, the dopamine, the serotonin, all of this. But the reality is that it's just taking you on a fake deception. And after that deception comes down, you are back where you were, but you're a lot worse off. But with this, not only have you become addicted to this drug or the alcohol, but at the same time, you have destroyed your religion by going towards this. You have disobeyed the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. You have taken something which is haram, and this has a negative impact which will destroy you. Now the problem these days is this. What we do is we carry the weight of the globe on our shoulders. A lot of people, they sit there and they watch television and they watch news. And they're addicted to news channels and news internet sites. And then what does one often find in news? Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah has many times in the Madni Muzakara said, look, avoid these. There is seldom anything good in these news channels and on these news articles. It is always bad news. Now, when your brain picks up on this bad news, it sends negativity into your system. Say if it's a problem that you can't solve. So many people have been murdered. So many people have been destroyed in a fire. Your brain can't deal with that. It looks for a solution. So it hangs there in the back of your mind. Now, if you're already suffering from depression, this worsens it. What possible benefit do you get from this? You don't. But what it makes you do, and the scholars write, is that inside your brain then rages an internal war. And this war is like a battlefield in there with all these different thoughts from what you've picked up from social media, from news, with your own problems, with your family problems. And it's almost like a massive battlefield. And that battlefield leads to ulcers, increase in blood pressure, and then heart attacks. It frustrates you. You become angry, you become furious, and then the simplest of things, even the change of currency prices, can become something that triggers all this negativity. And the person who has this mindset is forever disturbed by even the most trivial things. This is why the scholars say, don't carry the weight of the globe on your shoulders. Let the ground do the carrying. These are not your problems. Why are you burdening yourself with these problems and making your life a misery? Why worry about things that you can't control? Why look at fallacies, other people's reporting and misconceptions, misreporting? Why don't you be principled? Why don't you look at the truth? Avoid these. Spend your time reading a book. Spend your time learning about spirituality. Spend your time increasing your understanding of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How to read salah correctly. How to farzulum. Learn those obligatory things that you need to know. This is what the strong person does. The weak-hearted person, he kills himself many times a day. He runs from one problem to another. While the strong one has a schedule, I've got to do this, this, and this. And if he's delayed, he still focuses his mind. Even though he's got the depression, he's got the anxiety, he's got the worries, he's focused. But the weak one, on every path that he walks down, he sees a grinning lion and he runs. And he runs. And he runs. He becomes a coward in life. He becomes weak and hopeless and in despair. His sentiments, his emotions get the better of him. And even though he has all that life has to offer, everything that he can have, he has a stable life. He has the strength to deal with his problems with bravery and courage. And he has perseverance. He doesn't want to even go near them. He thinks everything is against him. And he thinks that the world is a dark and lonely place. But it wasn't. If he was more resolute, more ferocious than his circumstances, strong, ready to deal with calamities, by taking hold of the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like for example protecting your salah, like doing more for the deen of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like if your hajj is farz upon you, going on hajj, no, he's worried about trivial things. Oh, this year, because of the pandemic, I couldn't go to Pakistan. Oh, that's really bad. You shouldn't be thinking like that. Maybe Allah has saved you from lots of calamities and problems if you were going to travel to wherever you did. This uncertainty, it's a disease of the heart where you're shaking about everywhere. These are wretched people and we don't want to be part of them. Their principal concern was for their stomachs, their cars, their houses, their lifestyles, social media, their image. And this is what gets them depressed. But for the one who's not bothered, who works hard, Allah Azawajal blesses him and he thanks Allah Azawajal. He's not bothered. If next door's got an expensive car, so what? He thanks Allah Azawajal for the one he has. If next door's got a bigger house or his friend's got a bigger house, he thanks Allah Azawajal because he doesn't look up. He looks down. You'll never be happy if you look at those who are better off than you. But if you look at those who are less off than you, not only will you realize that you're better than 99.9% of the world, but also you will realize that there are people suffering every day with the things that you take for granted. Look at your life. Look at the excellent health you possess. Look at what Allah has blessed you with, children, parents, partner, everything. You have all that life has to offer. And yet you've become depressed, anxious, and distressed over little trivial matters? Don't be. This is a trap of the shaitan. What it does is it takes away your resolve to live for today. It says, what's your life worth? It's not worth anything. Why are you doing this? Just sit there. It's not worth it. Life isn't good. It's just dark and lonely. Everybody's against you. Every cry is against you. Everybody hates you. You've got nothing to live for. And you'll be surprised. These people have suicidal thoughts regularly. Yet, if they just looked at it from a different perspective, they had all that life had to offer. They had to keep themselves busy with good work. And what they left is a vacuum. And a vacuum has to be filled by something. So in came boredom. And boredom is the weapon of the shaitan. And in came the thought processes. And repeating, why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? If I did this, this would have happened. If that happened, if he didn't do this, this would have happened. And that would have happened. I would have been richer. I would have been better. I would have been this. And suddenly, you're in this vicious cycle. But for the man of courage, for the man of bravery, for the sister who's strong, said, this was the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. I did whatever I could. I couldn't prevent it. I accepted. What do I do now? I want to make a schedule. I'm going to make sure this mistake never happens again, and I make something of my life. And this is what people are doing every day of the week. Like I said at the beginning, depression is a common illness. A lot of people, millions and millions around the world, suffer. But the extent of your suffering depends on how you deal with it. Many people have a bout of depression, they get over it in a few days, and their life is back to normal. But some people, when it comes, it's a vicious cycle, like I've described. And one thing leads to another, and it becomes so chronic that they have to have medication, and in some cases, they harm themselves. What's the difference? You've got one person who problems come to, anxiety comes to, this depression, low mood comes to, and he comes out of it shining. And then you have another person who it takes into the dungeons and straps him there in chains and leaves him there for years. What's the difference? The difference is this beautiful deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one protected his salah. He prayed on time. He went to the masjid. He read the Quran. He understood the Quran. He prayed in the court of Allah azza wa jal. He put his problems in the court of Allah azza wa jal and said, Ya Allah, these are my problems. I can't solve them. You are the Creator Supreme. By the blessings of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, please solve my problems. And then mentally, he thought, I've given my difficulties over to Allah azza wa jal. My Creator has set a duty for me. I need to pray salah. I need to learn the deen. I need to act upon halal and haram. I am going to try and do that. Allah azza wa jal will reward me for my efforts. But at the same time, my problems are now in the court of the Creator, who, by the blessings of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will help me. 3 days later, he's out of his anxiety and depression. The problem's still there, but the anxiety and depression have gone. Now look at the other side. He's on that vicious cycle, and he thinks there's no end. He doesn't turn to Salah, he doesn't turn to the Quran, he doesn't turn to the Masjid, he doesn't turn to the Deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't listen to Nate Park, he doesn't listen to Quran, he doesn't listen to Bayan, he doesn't go on the Madni Kaflas, he doesn't attend the Thursday Ishtamas, he does nothing. All he does is stays in his vicious circle. And after a few months, the depression is so bad that now he's locked himself in a room. He's not talking to his wife, he's not talking to his children, he's not ringing his friends. All he does is binge watch television all day, and now he is on antidepressants from his doctor long term. Where was the problem? This person turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. This one didn't. Didn't you ever think that maybe, just maybe, this depression, this anxiety was a test to see who dealt with it properly? Let's learn to deal with our problems in the correct way. And if you deal with them in this way, by turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, you will watch your problems disappear. The glorious Quran directs us. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is calling out to you. What else do we need to get rid of this depression? What else can get you out of it? Nothing but the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because if you want peace and tranquility in your heart, mind and soul, then the golden rule of the universe is that Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Indeed, the hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what we've got to remember. Don't carry the weight of the globe on your shoulders. Don't take on problems that you don't need to, and put everything into its true perspective. If it's a trivial problem, in 3 days' time, you may not even remember it. In a year's time, you may not even know that it ever existed. Or when you look back, you may think, was I really that worried over that little trivial thing? And just look at it this way. Think of yourself. Every time you have one of these difficulties to deal with, think, is it going to make a difference on the day of judgment when I stand before my Creator and give accountability? No. This little trivial problem is nothing compared to that accountability. But I can make a difference to that accountability by reacting to this problem, this calamity, this depression, this distress in a positive way with the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if I do that, then even on the day of judgment, this depression that came will be a saving grace for me, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Do not lose hope, do not be sad.
Now, in everyday life, we're faced with trials and tribulations. There are certain things that happen that we perhaps don't like, and these things play in our minds. And one very, very effective technique that the scholars have given us, which helps you to deal with things, is to write things down. Now imagine a blank sheet of paper with lines all over, scribbled all over. These are your thought processes, and after a bit, it becomes impossible to decipher and everything's intertwined. And what the scholars write is this, that if you sit down, you get a piece of paper and you start to write down your problems. So you write down problem with, for example, your children and how to deal with it. Problem with your spouse and what action plan you have. Problem with your finances, problem with work. Write everything down. Straight away, you will start to feel relaxed. Why? Because mentally now, your brain is thinking, well, it's all there, I'm not going to forget anything. And also at the same time, because you've provided some sort of solution, even though it may not be the perfect solution, even though it may not work, at least you've put something down on paper. And this is a technique that many have used. And over time, do this day in, day out. Write the things you need to do down, write the problems down, write the calamities down, and then look at ways of solving it. And when you go to bed, your brain will be much more relaxed. Why? Because you've got it there on paper. It's not something you're going to forget about, and you've tried to solve it. And the brain then organizes information. And then try to get to bed early. But before you do, with your Isha Salah, read 2 rakat. Salatul Tawbah, and ask for forgiveness for all your sins. And when you make dua in the court of Allah, whatever problems you have, it could be anything, place it in the court of Allah by saying, Ya Allah, I don't have the strength to deal with this problem. I don't have the means to deal with this problem. I don't have the ability to deal with this problem. But Malik, you are the Almighty. Ya Allah, for the sake of your beloved Habib, please solve this problem. Now that prayer, sincere and humble prayer and supplication in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, will automatically and immediately relax you. So 2 rakat Salatul Tawbah, followed by this dua, and writing everything down, practice that every day if you're suffering from anxiety and depression. And watch, within a few days, you will start to feel much better. And remember that the effects of depression are not just in your mind, in your emotion, mental, but they are physical. And the physical impact is so great that it can have devastating effects on your life. Ask yourself, is it really worth it? And think, the only real, long-term, sustainable solution to this problem is Salah, Quran, and acting upon the beautiful deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.